I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big news, folks. You can now stream Sports Talk and our time-shifted podcast on Odyssey, TuneIn, and now the iHeartRadio app. Listen to the shows that you love and local content you crave when you want and how you want on Odyssey, TuneIn, and the iHeartRadio app. Now happy to welcome in our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedell. Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Nick, thanks so much, as always, for the time. How you been doing?
Steve, I am good. The party never stops around the league. There's always something going on. It does sadly feel a little more muted, at least at the beginning of free agency, than we're used to because of the second apron and all the different cap ramifications. But it is good to get the rumors and the intrigue around the league churning again.
Yeah, not a huge move for the Pelicans in free agency, getting Kevon Looney, but one that I feel adds a much-needed presence for this squad that was missing a year ago, yet there was so much angst and negativity going around this signing from national folks. I just didn't understand. Curious your thoughts on New Orleans picking up Looney.
I think Looney is going to help that locker room a great deal. He was a very, very popular turned into a veteran guy in Golden State with that group. He built up a lot of trust within the organization. The only issue I see, Steve, is health-wise, is he going to be able to stay on the floor night to night? It will depend on what kind of minutes and what kind of workload that they put him through. But I think that New Orleans is going to take it to a financial level that certainly the Warriors were going to get to, and if you believe that he can stay on the floor, then I think it's an investment worth making into his future, especially because if you've got a young group that just cannot seem to find their way, usually the best thing for a young group is one of the vets that everybody can go talk to and confide things in over time. Looney can be that guy, and it will certainly help if he can produce a little bit while he's out there playing.
Nick, would you believe me if I told you he's the oldest player on the Pelicans now?
Yes.
They traded Kelly Olynyk, and obviously CJ McCollum goes out. He's been in the league for 10 years, but he's still only 29 years old. You kind of forget, you know, when these kids are drafted, they're 18, 19 years old. So Kevon Looney coming in, and I mean, to Steve's point about the angst about it, I'm right there with you. I think if he can stay on the court, which he has done over the last 4 years, specifically averaging 78.5 games per season in that stretch, he's going to be a guy that is a rotational piece of this front court. Where Misi had that really good rookie campaign, you're expecting him to take another step into 2025-26 in his second year with the Pelicans, and he's the starter. And I think Kevon Looney can be a spot starter if Misi gets injured. But other than that, this is a guy that's going to be playing 15 to 20 minutes per game off the bench with the Pelicans and really helping that front court rotation, because we always say, you know, the 48 minutes of good center play at night is obviously important in the modern day NBA.
Charlie, I think it's huge. And when you have a guy who knows where he needs to be on the floor, I think that's just as important. Looney can be the guy that can help the younger guys get into place. And he can show them the way, not only what it takes to be a pro, but show them what they're going to need to do, especially on defensive sets. What's interesting for me, having covered him out there with the Warriors a few years ago, is there was a stretch where the Warriors weren't sure if he was going to be able to continue playing. He had gone through a lot of different health injuries and issues. And to his credit, he lost weight. He found a way to be out there. They figured out the right regimen for him in between games. And he really has been able to keep his body in check. And if you can do that, especially at this stage of his career, and like you said, I mean, instantly becoming the oldest guy at 29, that tells you a whole lot of what you need to know about that roster in general, but it does make sense why they identified him early and were willing to go that extra mile financially. So I think he will help. I think he's going to be a calming influence for that young roster. And if he can produce a little bit on the floor, it sure makes sense.
Nick, Poole, Looney, and maybe Jonathan Kuminga. We're seeing rumors out there that the Pels are interested in doing a sign-and-trade deal with the Warriors to land Kuminga. Curious, you think, if that deal can get done with the financials. I know it's going to be hard to make work, but curious, too, like, what do you think the Pels have to give up in order to get Kuminga in return from Golden State?
I would think it's Herb Jones and some draft capital, some assets.
Yeah,
That's what would be fascinating to me, guys, is certainly Kuminga has shown flashes. There is that chance that still at such a young age he can develop into more of a scoring presence and a more of a star than the Pels have seen recently, because they keep waiting, obviously, for Zion, who I just don't think is ever going to become that player. But if I'm the Pelicans, I would be very, very hesitant on any Kuminga move. And the reason I say that is because if the Warriors and Steve Kerr thought that Kuminga was the next star that other people around the league still have, I guess, some hope that he can be, well, then he would have been out there playing in the big stretches. And they would have trusted him a hell of a lot more than they did the last couple seasons. The flip side to that argument is, all right, well, Kuminga doesn't fit with Steph, and sometimes that happens, but he's still a nice, athletic player who has the ability to come into his own in a different situation. If you're Joe Dumars and you believe that, go for it. You know what? Go for it and see what happens. If it were me, though, having watched his progression with the Warriors these last few years, that is not a move I'd be willing to make, because I don't trust that, especially once you redo this deal and you give him the money that he's looking for, that he's going to be able to live up to that kind of contract and pressure night to night. But if you're the Pels, you want to make a splash and you want to get a promising young athletic wing who can help you on both ends, then I guess take the swing. But that is why I would be very hesitant, because I'd look back on these last couple seasons and I'd say, did he earn the trust of Kerr and that coaching staff? And I think unequivocally the answer would be no. So if you know that, then I would be very, very cautious on putting out that kind of financial investment for a long-term future.
You know, Nick, it's a great point, and I wanted to get your thoughts, because – right now, it feels like the least likely option is that Kuminga's just going to stay in Golden State long-term. I know that he's a restricted free agent and that they could potentially match whatever contract he could get from another team. You know, you hear the buzz about Chicago and Miami, and obviously New Orleans is kind of the latest to throw their hand to the ring. I think Sacramento was the name of the team that was mentioned as well. There's obviously some interest in the kid, former 7th overall pick in 2021, and he's still 22 years old, which is almost hard to believe because he's been in the league for 4 years. The last 2 years have been solid from him, but as you mentioned, he really hasn't made that leap into being an all-star level player like, you know, maybe he had the potential of when he was drafted back in 2021's offseason with Golden State. I want to get your thoughts on what he could potentially be looking for financially, though, Nick. Like, what is the market range for Jonathan Kuminga if the Pelicans were to potentially go and get him in a sign-and-trade?
Well, Charlie, I think what he's wanted all along is max money or close to it. And you talk to people out there in the Bay Area, and they're like, you want max money, go find it. You know, I mean, that's part of being a restricted free agent. You know, you want the deal, get somebody to ink you to that deal and then force us to make the decision on whether we want to match or not. That's the issue. I know my old friend Brian Windhorst said this the other day on one of the ESPN broadcasts, but this really does feel like one of the single worst, if not the worst, summers we've ever seen for restricted free agents, just because there's not a lot of cap space to go around. So if you're Kuminga or you're Josh Giddey and you're sitting there saying, I want the big payday, and the big payday is not readily available anywhere, well, then it's going to be a really long summer and it's going to turn into a staring contest. So that's part of the issue for Kuminga. Kuminga and his representation see him as a new star who could become even bigger in a different place, and they want him to be paid as such. If you're the Warriors or you're some other team, and Charlie, you mentioned a few of them, you're sitting there saying, all right, we believe in you, but I don't know if we want to go to that high of a point. Again, if you're a team like the Pelicans and you just don't have a lot of hope within that roster right now, I guess it's worth a swing. But at that point, given what we've seen, if you're investing in Kuminga at max money or close to it, you have to truly believe that he can reach a new level almost right away, that he's going to develop into a different kind of player than what we've seen consistently. Because, again, guys, the talent is there. We've seen him have games where he put up some big numbers, and defensively he's made some strides. What we have not seen is for that to carry over night after night after night. It is not a roll of the dice I would make, but I don't have the type of serious roster flaws that some of these teams have. And specific to New Orleans, I don't even know if you were to give up Herb and a draft pick or two to get Kuminga back and obviously to pay him what he's looking for. I don't know if that's a chance I'd be willing to take.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Looking away from the Pels for a sec, the Knicks expected to hire Mike Brown as the new head coach over there. Moving on from Thibodeau seemed like a big flub by the Knicks after what he was able to build with this team in just a couple years. And now bringing in a guy like Brown, as it looks, it at least seems on the surface like a good fit or a good addition for this Knicks squad. I'm curious how you feel about Brown.
Steve, I think he's a really good coach. He will have the respect of the players. He's got a defense-first mentality. But there's a big but here. And the but is if you built a team around Tibbs,
yeah,
and you have brought in players minus Towns who fit Tibbs' style in his personality, the best person and best coach for those players is Tom Thibodeau. It's not Mike Brown or anybody else. So as much as I respect what Mike has done in the league, and I do think he can help, everybody focuses on the communication, and we've certainly seen those leaks the last couple of days. Oh, Mike Brown is very communicative, and he talks to everybody, and he's a connector in the organization. The story is always the same when you fire Tibbs. Hey, we need somebody who gets everybody on the same page and can make everybody work together. My only thing with the Knicks is good luck, because time and again now, we saw it in Chicago. We certainly saw it in Minnesota prior to the lottery luck of landing Ant Edwards. If you fire Tibbs and you've built your team around Tibbs and his personality, good luck trying to find the person to fill that role better than he did. Mike Brown is a really good coach. I think he will help them win games, but I do not believe a month later or whatever it's been, the Knicks are in a better place now than they were with all the flaws that had built up over time with Tibbs. I think they would have been better served to take a deep breath, try again this year and see what happened.
Nick, this is the first time we've talked to you since the 2025 NBA draft. Steve and I did a draft show from the Pelicans facility, and boy, was it fascinating, because we had to get off at like by 9 o'clock. So we were all worried that we wouldn't get the 23rd overall pick in. Side note, but these draft picks taking 10 minutes per pick and going 3.5 hours to make 30 selections was kind of insane. But I want to get your thoughts on the Pelicans draft class. Like, you spend the 7th overall pick, you stay there, you take Jeremiah Fears one spot above the Brooklyn Nets. who basically used all five picks on different sized ball handlers in that first round. I thought that was a little bit fascinating. You get Jeremiah Thiers, the point guard out of Oklahoma. He's got his deficiencies with defense. He's got his deficiencies with turnovers, three-point shooting. But there is something to be said about how electric he is with the ball in his hands. And then the splash move that, you know, it's been really, really fascinating to see national folks talking about it, where you move on from the 2026 unprotected first-round pick swap between you and Milwaukee, and you move up 10 spots with Atlanta from pick 23 to pick 13, and you select Derrick Queen and the center out of Maryland, who everybody in the NBA knew that Troy Weaver and Joe Dumars was interested in. They go out and get their guy, but, you know, some people say it's a gamble. Some people say it's reckless. Just want to get your thoughts on where you stand on it.
I'm of the belief that it was a gamble and it was reckless. So I sit into both sides of that equation, Charlie. Derrick Queen better come in and be an all-star in the next few years. You do not make that move with the roster deficiencies that the Pelicans have unless you are sure that that young guy can develop into the type of dynamic player he would need to be in time. And if he does, credit to Joe and Troy, and more power to him for taking the risk and making sure that they had a talented player that they believe is going to develop even more. Having said that, when you look at the Pelicans roster, there are so many holes all over the place. That draft, by all accounts, guys, is going to be a lot deeper next year than it is right now. And again, if you're the Pelicans, where is the belief that you are going to be able to turn things around in 1 year in a Western Conference that is clearly more talented than its counterpart in the East and has a lot more weapons all over the place? So when that deal went down, I kind of went, oh, come on, you got to be kidding. And then to see the reaction from all over the place where it seemed like everybody was like, what the hell are the Pelicans doing? I hope for Dumars and Weaver's case that that pick becomes what they want it to be. Because if not, what they did was, any front office, a new front office, there's a goodwill period, the honeymoon period. Everybody's feeling good. Oh, this is a change. We have some hope again. I can't remember a time, guys, where it seemed pretty universal that all over the place, everybody's like, what the hell is Joe Dumars doing? So that was like a new record of taking the goodwill that you have with the hire and kind of flushing it. The only way to turn that around is to see the progression month to month next season. But even then, to give up that pick next year, that was a head scratcher. And I have a feeling it's going to be one of those moments in time you look back on and you go, why, oh, why did they do that?
You know, Nick, it's been interesting because it's been almost a 50-50 reaction from Pelican fans, where David Griffin made the big trade with Anthony Davis. He got all these draft picks and then he just kind of sat on his hands and didn't do anything with it. And so there were the people that said, oh, it's actually a breath of fresh air for Joe Dumars to be aggressive. And then you hear from everybody in the national media that basically echoed those entire sentiments that you just shared. But just looking at it, because it is fascinating to see this Pelicans roster getting built in Joe Dumars and Troy Weaver's image right off the bat and getting two lottery picks. I know that Joe had said that he kind of account for next year when you're making a second lottery selection. And they obviously have the belief in Derrick Queen. And we're going to get to see both Queen and Fears very, very soon here, because like we had mentioned with the short offseason for the NBA, where you had the finals, that was basically like 2 weeks ago, game seven, and then you go into the draft and then free agency starts, and then summer league is 8 days away. So we get to see both of them in a Pelicans uniform in action for the first time. I want to get your thoughts on both players and kind of what you're expecting from them in Las Vegas.
Well, I think the Fears pick makes a whole lot of sense, Charlie, because you can get up and down the floor. There's some electricity to what he brings, not only to the game, but to the rest of his teammates. And you can believe that he should be able, especially in those summer league games, to find a rhythm pretty quickly. With Derrick Queen, I know in the brief snippets I saw of him in college, what stood out to me was that he was never afraid of the moment. And when his teammate needed him to make a big play, a big shot, a big move on the floor, he was the guy that they turned to. more power to him, because a lot of guys, they get in those type of moments and they kind of shy away from it. But it's tough, as we know, to translate what you see sometimes in the college game to the next level. So on the surface, I actually like both of the picks. The problem, especially with the second pick, is what they had to give up to get it. So that always factors in. That's part of pro sports, and that's certainly been part of the NBA from now until the end of time. It's not that the picks won't work, because I think especially with the turnover that's going on right now with the Pels, that this group is going to let the young players play, and if you can play, hey, if the minutes are yours, go for it. The issue is going to be if immediately they don't live up to the expectations that are already set, well, then what happens heading into next year's draft where you go, oh, no, we could have had fill in the blank with whatever pick that ends up being. So that's my whole issue with why they made the deal that they did. It's not that there's not talent and the picks aren't going to fit in some kind of way in the system. It's that for the risk reward of it all, I just didn't see that it was worth it for a team that, and guys, feel free to disagree with me. I just don't see the Pelicans being able to go from really the bottom of everything right now all the way back into even the middle of the West. I think that is a really, really tough sell, which is going to make that pick even better a year from now.
It's all based on health, Nick, and if this team can stay healthy, which they just have not been able to, and last year specifically was just brutal in that aspect. My last one for you, though, you know, I just want to throw this out there. Very generic. We're on day three of free agency. It's starting to slow down a little bit. Just your favorite kind of signings fits so far. And then on the opposite side, some of your least favorite pickups or extensions that you've seen so far through the first couple of days of free agency.
Well, Charlie, let's start with what I didn't like. And I'm going to join the choir here, but I do not understand what the hell is going on in Milwaukee. You wave and stretch Lillard for all that money to sign Miles Turner. I think he's a solid pro. He can help, but he's going to take the Bucks from wherever they're at right now to some different place. And the amount of money that it's going to take not only to sign him, but because you waved and stretched Lillard, what in the world? I mean, at that point, just make the move and start fresh and get Giannis somewhere else. I just don't get what in the world Milwaukee's trying to do, because, again, and I think this part does tie to the Pels, on the surface, you get Miles Turner and they're good. You know, okay, he's a really good player coming off a great year. They got a game away from winning it all. Cool. But Miles Turner is going to put you in some different place alongside Giannis? I don't see that, even in a wide-open East. I mean, can Derrick Queen help right away? Of course he can. But is he going to take the Pelicans to a whole different level with Fears? And maybe for the first time a healthy Zion? I don't see that. But I'm happy to tell you that I'm wrong if things change from now until April. But as far as the rest of the stuff goes, after Milwaukee and whatever the hell they're doing, I think that when you look at the moves that have already been made, and Charlie, we talked about this a few weeks ago, but the move that is actually the most intriguing to me didn't happen in the last few days. It happened a couple weeks ago, and it's Bane to Orlando. The East is wide open. The Magic made this move believing, all right, this is the guy that's going to put us over some kind of hump, put him with Banchero and Wagner, stay healthy, and let's see what happens. That, to me, out of all these different moves, not only fits the best, but is the most intriguing, because they pushed all their chips in and they said, this is the difference maker for us. Whether or not that happens over time, we're going to see. But I think that that type of gamble in the state that they're in as an organization in trying to take another step, that's as impressive to me as anything else we've seen in the first few days of free agency here.
Nick, always great hearing from you, man. Thanks so much for the time, as always. We love you.
Always enjoy, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Nick.
Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedel. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. Put your safety first. Everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.